So if you would all open your Bibles to Acts 10. We have been going through Acts as a church now for some months now. Pastor Mike has been preaching through it. And here we are in Acts 10. We are in the second half. And this is one of the most important passages of Scripture. And we have reason to rejoice in this passage of Scripture. Because here in Acts 10, we see the gospel going out to the whole world. We are in this room today able to worship Jesus and able to know Jesus because of what happens here in Acts 10. Now, while you're all turning, I would like to share a quick what-if story. This is a giant what-if story. This is not real. What if there was a doctor in another country, some foreign country, a doctor who spends his whole life studying medicine, spends his whole life studying diseases and sickness, and he comes up with a cure for every sickness, every disease. He comes up with a cure, this medicine that, when given to someone, takes away all sickness, all disease, any struggle they have for their entire life. They never have to deal with it again. This is the ultimate cure. This is the best medicine that has ever been made or found. And this doctor in a foreign country comes up with it. And he decides, I want to share this with my country. I want to share this with my people. So he starts going around his country. He starts giving people this medicine. He starts offering it to the sick. And the reality is everyone at some point in their life is sick. Everyone at some point in their life is dealing with some kind of health issue, and he's offering them this cure. What ends up happening is this country rejects the doctor. They reject this ultimate cure, and it doesn't make any sense. They start calling him a loony. They start saying that there's no way possible you could come up with a cure for every sickness. And they start rejecting this doctor, but there were some people whose lives were changed by this medicine. There are some people who were sick, they took this medicine, and they're so joyful because their life is changed and they never have to deal with sickness again. So they start following the doctor, they start helping him spread his medicine around the country, and they start seeing that they're being rejected as well. They're seeing that other people are now persecuting them, and at this point the government is now locking people in prison for handing out this medicine to people. So these followers, these people whose lives have been changed by this medicine, go to the doctor and they're like, what's going on? I thought our country, our people would accept this. And the doctor says, my plan was not for this medicine to just reach our country. My plan was not that I can save our people in our country. My plan was that this medicine could change all of mankind. My plan was that this cure could heal every person in every nation all around the world. So he tells his followers to spread this medicine out to the rest of the world, and they do. And what ends up happening is now all around the world, every nation, people are accepting this medicine. There are people who reject it, and there are people who are accepting it, and lives are being changed. People are being saved from all of their health issues. And you have, imagine this, right? In a hospital, you have someone in a bed, they're dying of cancer, some kind of serious sickness, and they look up at the television screen in this hospital room, and on the news it says, there is a cure for every disease that is available to the whole world. Imagine the joy that that person who is dying has. That sick person is feeling so much joy because they can get the best cure, the best medicine in the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here in Acts 10, we are given the best cure in the world, and that is Jesus. The best medicine, the one who can heal you from a life of death and depression and can bring you to a life, a real life, eternal life, in joy and peace in him. So we have Jesus. He is the ultimate cure. He came down, and it says in John 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. You see, Jesus first came to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are God's chosen people. Jesus first came to them, and they rejected him. But there were some that accepted his gift. There were some that followed Jesus. And he tells them to go share the saving message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the rest of the world. So they do. And here we have, in this chapter, a man, Peter, He's a Jewish man who followed Jesus. He never thought that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go further than the Jewish people. But God sent him to talk to this man, Cornelius, who is a Gentile man. Now, a Gentile is just simply a person who is not a Jew. So if you're in this room and you are not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And up to this point, no one knew that the saving message of Jesus, the ultimate cure, was available to the Gentiles. Well, God sends Peter, a Jewish man, to Cornelius, a Gentile man, to have the ultimate cure, to hear the ultimate news of salvation. And because of this, we all today have the opportunity to have the ultimate cure in Jesus Christ. Now I'm gonna read this passage in Acts 10 real quick, verses 34 all the way to 48. Peter is giving this message to Cornelius, this gospel message, and he says, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. Let's pray. Father, it is because of this moment here that we are all able to receive the gospel. We are able to know about the saving message of Jesus Christ and have eternal life with you. Father, bless this congregation today by the hearing of your word. Let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today. And if anyone here does not know you or has never heard this message, Lord, reveal to them their sickness and their need for your cure. And that is Jesus. Thank you, God, for all you've blessed us with. We are forever grateful and forever praising you. We love you and we praise things in your precious name. Amen. So here we have Peter giving the gospel message to Cornelius. And he starts off by understanding that the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is not just for the Jews. The gospel is for everyone. Because in verse 34, he says, "I most certainly understand now, God is not one to show partiality." God doesn't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. He doesn't care what race you are. He doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care about your gender. He doesn't care where you're from, where you're at, what you've done, where you've been. God shows no partiality. The gospel is for the sick. Well, in Romans 3:23, it says we are all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. So the gospel is for everyone. Peter finally understands this. He says in verse 35, "But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." And he's talking about Cornelius here, because Cornelius was a devout man. It says that he knew the God of Israel. He feared God with all his household. He gave many alms to the Jewish people. He prayed to God. Cornelius was a man seeking God. He feared God and did what was right. So it says that he is welcome to God. Now, does this mean that he is saved? Does this mean that because he fears God and does what is right, that he attained salvation? That is not the case. Because Cornelius doesn't even get saved until verse 44. He doesn't even come to a salvation point until verse 44. So here it is not talking about when it says that they are welcomed to him. It is not saying that they are saved. What it says here is, and I'm going to quote the Barnes commentary. This was a very good commentary for me. Helped me understand this passage well. He says, it does not say that Cornelius was accepted on account of his good works. Those works were simply an evidence of true piety in the heart, a proof that he feared and loved God and not a meritorious ground of acceptance. This was not saying that your works are what bring God to you. You see, Cornelius, when he feared God and did what was right, that wasn't him trying to work for something. That was him responding in faith. Cornelius had faith in God and wanted to know God. This is a man seeking the Lord, but he just didn't know Jesus. So when it says that they are welcome to him, that's because God will send Jesus to those who want to know him. So God sends Peter to Cornelius by divine intervention to give him the gospel of Jesus. Cornelius wants it. He's excited. He brings his entire family. He brings his friends to hear this message that Peter has for him because he knows that something is about to go down. He knows this message is important and it is about to change their life. So he brings everyone around to hear this message, and Peter is about to give it. Cornelius wants to know how to be saved. He wants to know how to know God. And Peter, in verses 36 all the way to 43, gives him the life of Jesus. So Cornelius here is listening closely. He wants to know about Jesus. And in verse 37 and 38, Peter says, "You yourselves know the things which took place. You know of Jesus of Nazareth." Cornelius probably heard word of Jesus because Jesus was a very prominent figure. He changed history. So, of course, Cornelius and the people with him had heard about Jesus, but it's about what did they know about Jesus? Well, it says that they knew that he traveled throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee. See, Cornelius and them knew that Jesus was baptized by John. They knew that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. They heard about this Jesus, that he was performing miracles, and that God was with him. So what were they missing? Well, Peter, after running through the life of Jesus, everything Jesus did in his lifetime, all the works, all the awesome things, how God guided him and worked in him and gave him the Holy Spirit and power, it leads to verse 39, where now Peter talks about the death of Jesus. He says, "We are witnesses of all these things, the things he did in both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They, the Jews, also put him to death by hanging him on a cross." So now, Peter, after preaching the life of Jesus to Cornelius, is preaching the death of Jesus to Cornelius. And this is part of God's plan for salvation. This was not an accident. This was all part of God's plan, because what happened to us because of Jesus' death is what changes our lives. You see, Jesus didn't just die a physical death. When he was on the cross, it's easy to look back and think about the pain he was suffering physically. Think about how he was whipped and lashed, and he bled, and he hung on a cross. We can think about how painful that was, but something worse was happening there while Jesus was on the cross. Something much more painful and much worse. It says that the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. Why? Why was the wrath of God poured out on Jesus? Why did he have to go through that? Well, I'll tell you why. You see, I mentioned earlier in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, except for Jesus in his lifetime, has sinned. We are all sick. We have all sinned. And it says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. There is a payment for sin. God's wrath has to be poured out to punish sin. We cannot pay it on our own. So Jesus on the cross took the payment. In 1 John 2:2, it says, Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Now, the word propitiation is an awesome word because it means satisfaction of wrath. Christ satisfied the wrath of God for sin. And it says, not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Christ, when he was on the cross, was taking on the wrath of God for my sin, for your sin, for the sins of everyone in the entire world. Every sin that you've committed, the punishment for all sin, for all mankind, Christ took it on the cross. So that is why we need to preach that Jesus died for our sins. And so Peter wants Cornelius to understand this, but then in verse 40, he wants him to understand something else. After preaching the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus, in verse 40, he says, God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible. Not to all the people, but to the witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. See, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. If he did, he would have just been a man, defeated by death. Lucky for us. You know, praise God that Christ rose again and he conquered death. He paid the penalty for all sin, for all mankind, all of the debt that we owe. He paid it all, and then he rose again 3 days later to show that he is God, that he is powerful, and he is stronger than death. He is stronger than sin. He is the best cure in the world. That is Jesus. And right here, Peter lines out the gospel for him. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 43, he hits the nail on the head. He comes to the real point. I bet Cornelius is on the edge of his seat thinking, this is crazy. The life of Jesus is crazy. He did all that. He died for my sins. He rose from the dead. Oh my goodness. And he's going crazy, right? And then Peter says, through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. This was God's plan for salvation. This was God the Father's plan from the beginning. You see, it was God the Father who sent Jesus to the Jews. It was God the Father who anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. It was God who was with Jesus his whole life. It was God who knew the Jews were going to put him to death on the cross. It was God who led Jesus to the cross. It was God who poured his wrath on Jesus as payment for our sins. It is God who rose Jesus from the dead 3 days later. It is God who chose witnesses beforehand. It was God who appointed Jesus as judge. It was God who ordered the disciples to preach. It was God who sent Peter to Cornelius. And it is God who made the gospel available to all of us. This is God's plan for salvation. Praise the Lord. So, in verse 44, after hearing the gospel, after hearing that through Jesus' name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. What this means here is Cornelius and all the Gentiles with him, all his friends and family, just got saved. They all accepted Jesus. The gospel is now available to the rest of the world. They didn't have to say the right word. They didn't have to say a specific prayer. They didn't have to do a certain act. They didn't have to act a certain way. They didn't have to be baptized. They just simply believed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and then received his free gift of salvation. They received the best cure in the world just by listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how we are saved. This is God's plan for salvation. It is not by a work. It is by what Jesus has done, believing in him, believing that we are in sinners, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and believing that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and then receiving that free gift. That is how we are saved. Now, that is God's plan for salvation. What about God's plan for after we're saved? What's God's plan after we accept Jesus? See, his plan doesn't stop there. He doesn't give us an eternal pass to heaven and then let us live our life however we want. He gives us more joy, more peace, more opportunity to serve him throughout our life. We get to spend our life praising our Savior. Just like we did today, we're here on Sunday morning, we're able to praise Jesus for what he's done. Jesus saves. We sang it out earlier, and I'm so joyful to be able to live a life where I can praise Jesus daily. Because that's exactly what the Gentiles, believers here did. As soon as they got saved, they got the Holy Spirit. In verse 46, it says they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. As soon as these Gentiles, Cornelius and all his family, get saved, they start praising Jesus. They start glorifying him, magnifying him, yelling out in joy. They are overjoyed. What about that person, like I mentioned, in the hospital bed who notices that a cure is available for them? They can be saved. They are praising. They are overjoyed. That is how we are when we accept Jesus. We get to live in an abundance of joy. It says here that in verse 45 that all the circumcised believers, the people who came with Peter, these were the Jewish believers, they came with Peter, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. These believers are in wonder and awe of the Lord's work. They know Jesus, they got saved by Jesus, they know the gospel, and they are still in awe and wonder at the work of the Lord. Amen. I am still today in awe and wonder of how the Lord works in my life and in the lives of others. Sometimes I look at someone and I think, because my flesh is still here, I start to think to myself, oh, maybe, I don't know if the Lord can reach out to them. That person's really far off. Well, if God could save a sinner like me, he could save anyone. The gospel is available to everyone. In John 1, verses 11 and 12, I mentioned earlier in verse 11, it says, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Then in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The adoption clinic is open. And everyone in the world is an orphan. And we all can enter this clinic and we can receive the gift that Christ has for us, and we now have a Heavenly Father. Let's go. Bunch of orphans getting adopted. That's what we are. It's an awesome thing. So, with this, I want to bring up a verse. Now, this, you know, you ever get the question, it's like, what's your favorite verse? I've been asked that, maybe because I work with youth. I get asked often, it's like, what's your favorite verse? And it's hard to choose because the whole Bible's pretty awesome. It's God's word. So it's hard to pick a verse. But if I had to choose one, I always like to go to Ephesians 2:10. Because in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, the gospel's clearly given. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of works, so no man may boast. Helps me understand that I did nothing for my salvation. It is all Jesus. And then in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship. Our workmanship means masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God's plan for salvation is for everyone. His plan after salvation is for everyone that gets saved, that we continue to do the things that he has for us and live a joyful, awesome life as a new creation in Jesus. So here in verse 37, Peter says, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So all of these Gentile believers now, they've accepted Jesus. He orders them to be baptized. And this is baptism in water. This isn't baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Pastor Mike will be preaching on in weeks to come. Here, he's talking about baptism in water. Now, if you notice the chain of events, they get saved, and then in response, they get baptized. Not as a requirement for salvation, but in response to their faith in Jesus. I looked up online a good definition, a way to describe this baptism here. It says, it is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. This is the burial of the old self and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to the believer's faith. The point here is, all these new believers are excited. Peter's excited for them. He's like, let's get you baptized. Let's get you to symbolize your new life in Jesus Christ. Put to death your old life and live your new life in Jesus. And then at the end of verse 48, the very last line, it says, then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Now, it seems like a small line, but there's a lot there. They asked Peter to stay for a few days. I don't think they asked him to stay to play checkers. I'm pretty sure I can assume very strongly that the reason they want Peter to stay is because they want some good fellowship. They want to continue knowing Jesus better. They were just given this awesome message by Peter. They're like, we want to know more. Please, Peter, stay with us. Teach us more. Because when we get saved, we have, here in the church, we are blessed. We have a lot of believers around us who all know Jesus. And after accepting Jesus, we want to know Jesus more. We want to know him better. And we have the opportunity to because of the people around us that God has given us. Let's take advantage of that. I was very blessed when I got saved. I had a man from this church named Mike Zimmerman who every Thursday had a Bible study and he would walk through scripture with me. I knew nothing about the Bible. All I knew is Jesus died for my sins and I wanted to know him better. And Mr. Z helped me know Jesus better. Praise the Lord that we continue to grow in his grace and continue to experience his joy and do the works that he has for us. Praise him. Now, this is very convenient because today we have communion. We have this time where we partake in the bread and the cup that Jesus has given us. And Jesus says to do this in remembrance of me. The purpose for us to take communion is to remember the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is how we can rejoice in what he's done for us and what he's given us. And spend this time remembering Jesus. Now, I want to encourage anyone here, if you do not know Jesus, if you understand that you're sick and you need the ultimate cure and you have never believed and received Jesus' gift, then I would encourage you not to partake in communion today, to let it pass by you. Because the point of this is to remember what Jesus did for us. Instead, I would like to encourage you. We have these kneeling rails out because I would love to encourage you, if you do not know Jesus, to come up if you want to know Jesus. And we have pastors, we have awesome people like Peter was there for Cornelius. We have people here who love and know Jesus who can help you know him. And they will help you understand how to receive him. And if you're someone in the crowd who, just like Cornelius, while the word of God was being preached, in your heart you believed and received Jesus, please come forward because we would like to be part of that joy with you. And we would like to celebrate that with you and encourage you, just as Peter and all his believers were there to encourage and be joyous with Cornelius and the other Gentiles.